I'd like to share a story with you tonight about Daniel. Not the Daniel of the Hebrew Scriptures, but Daniel of Thornwood, New York. Back in, I think it was 1973, my family moved from Yonkers, New York, where I had grown up, to Thornwood, New York. It was a move of about 25 miles, but it was a big move. And a significant move in our family's life. I was in college at the time. And it's the house that my parents still live in today. One of the things that excited my father about the house was he had a basement where he could create a workshop. He loved to work with things. He had a yard, a front yard, and a backyard where he loved to do things. To this day, he still is out there. His doctor's telling him to watch it and slow down, but he doesn't stop. But when we moved in 1973, next door to us was a family, and they had a little boy. His name was Daniel. And whenever it seemed my father went out to do work in the yard, Daniel showed up. He would come over and talk with my father. My father really enjoyed his being around. But I remember this one time, my father was out getting ready to mow the lawn, to cut the grass, and Daniel came over. And he said to my father, "What are you doing?" And my father said, "Daniel, I'm mowing the lawn." And Daniel says, "Why?" And my father says, "Well, it's been a while since I mowed it. It's gotten long, and I just need to mow it." And Daniel says, "Why?" My father says, "Well, you know, you don't want your grass to get too long. It starts looking scraggly, and it just looks ugly and stuff. I just want to keep it looking nice." Daniel says, "Why?" My father says, "Well, I like to, when I come home, I like it to look nice, pull in. The front lawn looks nice. It's kind of important to me." And Daniel once again says, "Why?" Finally, my father, I remember this day, said, "Daniel, is that your mother I hear calling you? I think I hear your mother calling you." Off Daniel went. But that why question, children ask it all the time. You know, if you're around children, if you're a teacher, or you're a parent, or you work around children, they're always asking the why question. And sometimes we don't know the answer to the why question. Oftentimes what we'll do when a question like that is asked, whatever it's about, we may tell a story. It's as if we're saying, "I don't really know the answer, but let me share this story. And perhaps together in this story, we can discover the answer to your why question." The challenge of a why question oftentimes is we don't know why right then and there. Sometimes the search for that question could take a lifetime. The reason that comes to my mind is in this time of when we gather for the celebration of Christmas, about between 30 and 40 miles from my parents in Thornwood, New York, is Newtown, Connecticut. And that's a community at this time that is certainly asking that question. Why? Our nation is asking that question. Why? Why? Think that question is what makes us human. We are the ones who search for understanding. We are the ones who search for meaning. We are the ones who search for wisdom. And we enter into that search with the why question. The why question. It's been said that we are very much a people of great know-how. But sometimes we hesitate to be a people of know-why. We're much more comfortable with the how. How does this work? How does this happen? How did it happen? A lot of times we can answer how. And so we're drawn to that. But the answers to why are not always that easy. And sometimes we can avoid it. I bring that up tonight because we tell stories to explain why. And tonight we heard one of the most definitive stories that we know of growing up, hearing this story of the birth of Jesus, this gospel that we just heard chanted wonderfully, something I wouldn't be able to do. But it's the story of Luke's gospel, the story of the birth of Jesus. It's a story we know. But did you know that there are two stories about the birth of Jesus? There's a story in Matthew's gospel, and there's a story in Luke's gospel. And they're each very distinct, and each somewhat different, and yet have similarities. And I'm not sure we're always as sensitive to those distinctions. The Gospel of Matthew tells the story that Mary and Joseph lived in Bethlehem. And Jesus was born pretty much at home in Bethlehem. And the story says that it could be after a year or two, these wise men come searching out this newborn king. We don't know how many wise men there are in that story. We always say three because there were three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the gospel doesn't really explain that or describe that. And they come searching for this newborn king. Do you remember this part of the story? They come and they go to the government leaders and they say, "We want to see this newborn king. Do you know where he is?" And the government leaders say, "No, we don't. When you find him, let us know about it. We would have an interest in this." And the wise men, as they say, they follow the star and they're led to Jesus. And after that experience of encountering Jesus, the story says, the words of the story are always very important. It says that they went home by a different route. They didn't go back to the government leaders. They went back by a different route. There's a power in that. When we meet the holy, when we encounter Jesus in our lives, we're drawn to a different route if we've really encountered that. We go back by a different route. And it says that Mary and Joseph then hear of this danger from the government leaders, and the government leaders decide to kill the firstborn of all the families in that land, 2 years old, 2 years and younger. It's called the Holy Innocence. As a matter of fact, this Friday, December 28th, in the liturgical calendar, is the Feast of the Holy Innocence, just 3 days after Christmas. The Feast of the Holy Innocents. So Mary and Joseph head out of town, and they head to Egypt, symbolic of Moses. And they head to Egypt, and they stay there for a while until they get a sense that it's safe to come back to their home. But as they're coming back, they realize this is not a safe place to be. Imagine what it's like to not feel safe in your home. And they go to Nazareth. And Jesus grows up there, and we all know Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth. And in Matthew's gospel, it's not until the ministry of Jesus is almost coming to a conclusion that Jesus eventually does enter back into the land, into his home, where he was not able to live, even though he lived as an exile in Nazareth. He comes back, and he's crucified. That story of the birth is almost a prelude to the story of his suffering, death, and resurrection. Luke's gospel tells a story about Joseph and Mary living in Nazareth. And it says that there's this census that is being taken, and so they have to go back to their land of their ancestors, and they go back to Bethlehem. And when they arrive in Bethlehem, one of the most recognized stories in the Christmas pageant, they go back to Bethlehem and there's no room in the inn. Remember that line? There's no room in the inn. There's no place to stay. And they find this stable where Jesus is born. And he's placed in a manger, which is the place where animals are fed. And there Jesus is born. And the shepherds, in Luke's gospel, the shepherds are the ones who hear from the angels about this birth, this wondrous birth, and they go to the stable to see this Jesus, this newborn Jesus. And Mary ponders these things in her heart. I think Mary was someone who was very comfortable with the why. Because someone who ponders, I think, can answer why questions. It's a wonderful phrase, and Mary ponders these things. Eventually, Mary and Joseph go back to Nazareth, and there Jesus is raised. Two different stories. We combine these two wondrous stories into one story. It's what our Christmas pageant is.
Oftentimes, a Christmas pageant combines all of these. Even our manger scenes. If you may have one of these similar at home, and at some point we bring the wise men to the manger. Well, if you get into the factual details of the story, the wise men never went to a manger. They went to Jesus' house in Bethlehem. And you get all into all those kind of details, and some people begin to say, well, these stories contradict each other. Are they real? Are they true? If we pull back a second and think that the authors of these stories were not trying to tell how Jesus was born. Try to wrap our minds around that. I don't think the purpose of those stories, those authors, was to tell how Jesus was born, but rather they were trying to tell a story about why Jesus was born. We may not know for sure how Jesus was born, but we know why. We know why. And these stories are stories that are told for us to answer our why. Why was Jesus born? Not so much about the know-how, but about the know-why in our lives. And so as we gather on this feast of Christmas, as we gather on this celebration of the birth of Jesus, let us ask our why questions. Jesus was born into a world of poverty, a world of oppression, a world of violence, a world of danger, a world where he wasn't even safe in his home neighborhood, his hometown. Have we changed that much? That may be a challenging thing to think. But our world today, the violence, oppression, terror, this Jesus, this light, this life that is offered to us is an answer to our why. It's an answer to our why. It leads us to the why. Why we persevere. Why we continue. Why we gather as a people of faith as we do this night and we do in our lives. To gather together, to live into this dream, to live into this vision. Sometimes the world around us can seem so broken, and yet God offers us a hope and a dream and a vision through this Jesus Christ. So as we gather together tonight, whether we're asking the questions of why in Newtown, Connecticut, or why we're asking the whys in our own lives, whether it's the whys of your own relationships, of your own lives, of your own jobs, of your own life, of where it's going, if you're a young person trying to figure where one's life is going, where is it leading, what am I going to be in my life, why am I here? These are the deep questions that we're invited to consider in our lives and continue to tell the stories and walk together as a community of faith, continuing to hear the stories of Jesus. So I invite you this Christmas, if you get a chance, read the stories again. Read the stories of the birth of Jesus in Matthew and Luke's gospel, or whichever one you like to read. And don't read it from the point of view of how Jesus was born, but why? Why? It's a story you can read for the rest of your life, and you will continue to gain understanding. You will continue to gain wisdom. You will continue to gain meaning. Because that's who we are. And Jesus offers us the path to understanding. Merry Christmas.